Okay, so we wanted to see a sugya. We should have really seen it last time. It was reminded to me at the end, but we forgot. Before we see the sugya, that mem tests on the base, it's really a tosfos that we need to see there. Let's just remind ourselves again on the tosfos of lamed tes amud aleph. The main points in the tosfos, and there's one particular point that we need to see in the tosfos and that mem tes on the base. If you remember, we touched on a subject which was a bit by the by, because it wasn't really our topic, but the Gemara mentioned it, and it's a very important topic. We were discussing the subject of Rabbi Yechon, who ate a kezayis and he made a bracha, and the Gemara was very bothered because there was no shiur. And the Gemara says there was a shiur. Now, Tosva says that when we talk about shiur, we are only ever discussing bracha achreino, because a bracha rishoino, there is no shiur. Whatever amount of food you have, it's irrelevant whether it's a food or a drink. You always make a bracha rishoina. So when the Gemara talks about a shiur, clearly the topic is a bracha achreina. Why is it also to eat? Why must you make a bracha under all circumstances, bracha rishoina? This is the principle we saw at the beginning of the parah, because you're not allowed to benefit from this world without making a bracha, and it's irrelevant what amount you're eating. That was the first point. Tosa says, however, when you're talking about the bracha achreino, then that's when the Gemara tells you there's a shiur. And what is the shiur? If it's food, it is a kezayis, and if it is drink, it is a meloi lugmov. That was the point that we saw in Tosas. Now, the Ri came along. Tosas quotes the Ri. And Tosva says that actually, shame the Ri, Boirei Nefoshos would be an exception. Because Boirei Nefoshos is not a bracha chashuva. It is the one-size-fits-all bracha, as it were. The bracha that's parava, that's neutral, it fits everything. And if it's a bracha which is not chashuv, so too, even if you eat or drink an amount which is not chashuv, you still make that bracha. Therefore, if somebody had a very small cup of water, or a small piece of meat, etc., 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 even though that's a very small amount and it's less than a kezayis, seeing as the bracha achreina is boirin ein fashos, so the Ri maintained, therefore even a small amount would require that bracha. When do we say that you need a shiur, therefore, for bracha achreina? When it's not boirin fashos, it's alamichyo, or it is brikas amozin. That was the point of the Ri, and Tosfos disagreed. Tosfos very strongly disagreed. Then we saw the whole discussion there with regard to a barrier, because the Yerushalmi spoke about the concept of a barrier, which would require a bracha achreina even if there was actually no shiur eaten. The Bavli did not talk about barrier. So there was a discussion, does that mean there's a machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi, in which case we would obviously go with the Bavli. Or perhaps not, but over here, for whatever reason, it was not considered a barrier, because it had been salted, and therefore it's not really sholim, as it were, in the first place, and that's why we didn't discuss barrier, but there's no actual machlokes. The last halacha that we discussed there, also, which is by the by, Tosfos spoke about when you have a bracha on a fruit, and on the fruit you were just about to eat, and what happened? It dropped, and it got dirty or spoiled, and you have to make a bracha on a new one. The answer is yes, you do have to make a bracha on a new one. Why? Because you are planning on eating apple number one, not apple number two. If when you made your bracha from the outset, you were planning on eating a number of apples, then obviously you would not need to make a second bracha. The Yerushalmi says, what about the amas hamayim, the stream of water you bent down to take a cup of water from the stream and then the water flowed down? And then you end up actually drinking different water, and then it says that you don't make a new bracha. So the Rishami says that's very different, because over there you expected the water to flow. Therefore, quite frankly, when you made a bracha in the first place, you knew full well that it wasn't necessarily be on the water that was in front of you, it might be on different water. Whereas when you're holding a pri in your hand, the last thing you expected is it for it to drop, and therefore you only had kavana for that pri. That was basically a brief summary of Tosfos Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. Now, have a look at that Tosfos again. And you see on the second narrow line where it says Vahari Hoya Oimer. Yeah, you see that line? So he says Vahari Hoya Oimer, that Boyer Nefoshois is different. Now you see next to the word Vahari there's a little circle. If there's a little circle which is semi-filled in, that's always a note. So look in the margin, in Rabbi Kiva Eger, in Gilyan Hashas. So look in Gilyan Hashas, and you'll see where it says, you see where it says, Toisvas, Dibu Hamaschil Botsar. You have that? That's our Toisvas, because our Toisvas begins with the words Botsar. But look, not at that note, but at the next note, Beis Aleph Dalad. Have you got Beis Aleph Dalad? Stands for Ba'oisoi Dibur. Ba'oisoi Dibur means in that same piece. Dibur Hamaschil, the piece that begins with the following words. And now, Ba'oisoi Dibur, and Rabbi Kivega says, Vahari Hoya Oima, etc. Ayin Lakamon Memtes Omad Beis Toises Dibur Hamaschil Verebeya. So this is where we got the Maramokim from. Rabbi Kivega says, have a look in Tosus and Daf Memtes on a base, the Masel Veromeh. Fine, so we'll obey Rabbi Kivega's instructions. So let's have a look there. It's a short piece of Gemara. I don't really want to launch into the whole Gemara in great depth, because not really our discussion, but some of it is. It actually refers to the Mishnah. So before we see Memtes, I know we're jumping about a little bit, but have a look at the opening Mishnah of that Perek. Daf Mem Hey Amud Aleph. It's talking about Zimun, Shloisha Sha'achlu, three people who sit together Chayav B'Zimun. The last line of that Mishnah says as follows. Ad Kamo Mezamnin. What is the amount that one has to eat in order for there exist, to there exist a Chayav Zimun? Ad Kezayis and Rabbi Yudayim Ad Kebeitzo. Either a kezayis, which is a smaller amount, that is the opinion of the Tanakama, which the Gemara in Daf Mem Tes on base tells us is actually Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says a kezayis, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's got to be more than that, it's got to be a kebeitzah. Okay. Now, look in the Gemara Daf Mem Tes on the base. And the Gemara says as follows, Ad kamo mezamnin, what is the amount for doing zimun? Have you got the Gemara? It is the seventh last narrow line. Lameimra, is this to say, De Rabbi Meir choshev leikazayis, v'Rabbi Yehuda kebeitza? It would seem to be that there's a machloikus going on over here. What's considered a choshev amount? The first opinion, i.e. the opinion of Rabbi Meir, seems to be that what? A choshev amount is a kezayis, and if one to eat a kezayis, even though that's not a lot, it's certainly not kebeitza, but it's choshev enough to require a zimun. Whereas the second opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, seems to maintain that no, a choshev amount is only considered a beitza. That seems to be the indication. Problem is, says the Gemara, v'ha ipcha shaminon luhu. But we've actually learned to the absolute contrary. Why? Because it says as follows. There's a Mishnah in Psochim, and it says as follows. V'chein mi sheyotza mirushalayim. Now, what does this mean? So, jump immediately to Rashi, third top line. Rashi fills us in. What is the subject over here? Rashi says, mi sheyotza mirushalayim. Le'el minei, just above that. In other words, we're sort of entering in the middle of the quote. And that's why Rashi very helpfully fills us in on the rest. Le'el mine, just above that it says, Mairi is talking about Ahoylech Lishchoit Espischoi. Somebody's off to Shecht his Korban Pesach. He's going to Shecht his Korban Pesach. The Nizkar, and he all of a sudden remembers Sheesh Le Chometz B'teich Beisoi. He's got Chometz in his house. So, Igevalt, if I'm off to Yerushalayim, to Makra Korban Pesach, and I've just remembered I've got Chometz at home. So, im yochel lachzoir, if he's able to return, ulava'er, what does it mean, ulava'er? Bir chometz, right, and to get rid of it, v'lachzoir lemitzvosoi, and then go back and do his mitzvah. Will he have time to go back home, be mava'er the chometz, and then go back and still get in time to Yerushalayim to be makrivis korban Pesach? Then obviously that's what he should do, then yachzoir v'yava'er. So indeed, he should go home and he should be mevayer his chametz. But v'im lav, if he doesn't have time, So, Baruch Hashem, we have an Eitzah. How do you get rid of your chametz without actually getting rid of your chametz? Yevatel beliboy. You mevatel the chametz in your heart. And that way, even though you don't have time to go back home and then to return Yerushalayim, it doesn't matter. You can be semich on bittel, you mevatel the chametz in your heart, and you continue on your way merrily. Now, that is the first part of that braisa. And then, this is where we join. V'chein, that's why our Gemara quoted V'chein. You cannot start a sentence with the words V'chein. Why not? V'chein means and also. And also. Also what? That's why Rashi tells us, no, there was a resha over here. We're now learning the Sefer. And it says, V'chein mishayotzom Yerushalayim. If somebody was leaving Yerushalayim, v'nizkar, and you all of a sudden remembered, sheyesh b'yodai, that he has in his hand, Basar Kodesh. You're not allowed to take Basar Kodesh out of Yerushalayim. So he was in Yerushalayim and he's on his way home and suddenly remembers, oh, gevalt, I've got to, in my suitcase, I've got some Basar Kodesh. Kodshim. The Nifsal, which became possible, be it Siyasa, Yechutz L'Chayma. As soon as he left the Chayma, he exited the walls of Yerushalayim, this Basar Kodesh became possible. This is our discussion. So look back into the Gemara. Again, fourth class, narrow line, V'chein Mishayotzom Yerushalayim. That's now you understand the V'chein. Part one was, if you're on your way to Yerushalayim and you remember you've got chametz, and now you're on your way from Yerushalayim and you remember you've got karbonis in your suitcase. V'nizkeh shayah b'yodoy b'sar kodesh. So, im ovar tzoifim, if you've passed the place called tzoifim. Now, what's significant about tzoifim? You can see the Beis HaMikdash from that point, Rashi says. Mokim sheyochel lirois Beis HaMikdash. If you've passed that point, sorfoi bimkoimoi, then just burn the kodshim wherever you are. Remember, you cannot eat the kodshim, and it doesn't help, by the way, to bring it back into Yerushalayim. Because the minute it leaves Yerushalayim, it's become posel. So either way, you're going to have to burn it. The question is just, where's the best place? So it says, if you've gone past Seifim, so it means that Beis HaMikdash is no longer in view, so wherever you are, stop and burn it on the spot. Vim lav, and if not, if you haven't yet passed Seifim, so you're still within sight of Yerushalayim, then choyze v'seifer lifnei habira. So then you should go back to Yerushalayim, and you should burn it there. Now what's the point of that? Because then you could burn it me'atze hamarocha from the wood of the in the marocha, which was the fire of the Beis HaMikdash. And for some reason, this is not our subject, there is an advantage of burning it there. So now, again, we're not going to get involved in the halachas of karbonos. It's not really our discussion. So certainly we're being told that there is a stage at which we will say, you haven't gone too far, go back to Yerushalayim and burn your Basar Kodesh there. Okay, now why is this relevant to our discussion? So because of the continuation. Ad kamohim choizrim. How much would you have to go back for? If I've got this Basar Kodesh in my pocket, but it's only a very, very, very small amount. So therefore, what would be the required amount for being mechuyev to go back to Yerushalayim? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Oimer, ze veze bekebeitzo. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, ze veze bekezayis. What does it mean, ze veze? Because we had two cases. Either you'd have to burn it on the spot, or you go back and all the way back to Yerushalayim. But either way, what is the amount? Either a kebeitzo or a kezayis. So now this is what's relevant to us. Clearly, what is the discussion over there? The discussion over there is how much meat, how much basar kodesh do you have to be considered choshuv? If it's only a minimal amount, then we're not going to require you to schlep all the way back to Yerushalayim. So what is choshuv? So this is our problem. The opinions seem to be reversed. Why? Because Rabbi Meir, who in our Mishnah said kezayis, over here says kebeitza. And Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Zeba Kazayas, he was the one who said with regard to Zimun that you have to eat a kebetz, and all of a sudden here he says a mere kazayas. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, we have no choice but to say Mukhlefes Hashita. Mukhlefes Hashita. Rashi says, by the way, Zeba Zeh, Chometz Ubosor Kodesh. the two cases that we've mentioned, going back for chametz or going back for basar kodesh, what is an amount that you'd consider chashuv, either kazayis or kebeitza? The opinions don't really seem to fit in. In fact, they're the exact opposite of what we learned in our Mishnah, muchlefes hashita. What does it mean, muchlefes hashita? We have no choice but to switch the opinions, and you're quite right. If our Mishnah says Rav Meir says a kazayis, that's what it should say over here as well. And any other version is reversed, it's not correct, and we'll have to switch it back. However, Abaya Omar, now it doesn't say Omar Abaya. So if it says Abaya Omar, we know he's coming to disagree with what we've said, and he says, no, la'olam lo'i tepuch. There's actually no necessity at all to switch the shittas. It's not a machloikas, it's not a stira at all. You can leave Zimun as it is, and you can leave Chometz and Basar Kodesh as it is. With regard to Basar Kodesh, so Reb Meir was of the amount you have to go back, or in the case of Chometz, only if it is a Kebetza, and Rebbe says it's a Kazayis. So yes, let's start in the other direction then. We began with Zimun, and we said if it says in the Mishnah Kazayis or Kebetza, then that seems to define what a chashuv amount of food is. And yet with regard to chometz and kochim, it seems to be the opposite. Says the Gemara, fine, start in the opposite direction then. Start with chometz and kodesh. What does it say with regard to chometz and kodesh? According to Rabbi Meir, what is chashuv? A kebeitza. A kebeitza. According to Rabbi Yehuda, how much is it? A kazayis. That is the definition of chashuv. Don't look at our Mishnah for defining what's chashuv. Look over there for defining what's chashuv. Okay, I'll begin there. I still have the same contradiction, whichever way you begin. No. If I begin over there and I say, listen, with regard to the general question, what's considered chashuv, Rav Meir holds a kebeitza, Rav Yehuda holds a kazayis. Now, when you come to our Mishnah, which is not a general case, it's talking specifically about Zimun. Zimun is an exception. Why is Zimun an exception? Says the Gemara, and Hacha over here, what does over here mean with regard to Zimun and benching? Bikroi pligi. They are having a machloikas with regard to a posuk. Reb Meir Sova, do you know why Reb Meir in our Mishnah says that Zimun will be recited over a kazayis? Now, why a kazayis? Surely Reb Meir was the one who said, with regard to chometz and kodshim, that it's got to be a kebeitza. A chashuv amount is a beitza. So if a chashuv amount is a kebeitza, why over here do you do zimun and birkas amazon even on a smaller amount of a kazayis? So the Gemara says, because the Torah says, v'ochalto v'savoto uveirachto. Do you know how Reb Meir learns that pasuk? Va'ochalto zu achila, v'savoto zu shtia, v'achila b'kazayis. We know that b'chol ha'Torah kula, when it comes to achila, what always constitutes an achila? A kazayis. The Torah says don't eat basar v'chalav, it means don't eat a kazayis. The Torah says don't eat nevela, it means don't eat a kazayis. Happens to be, by the way, in brackets, in parenthesis, you're not allowed to eat even less than that as well, by the way. Chatzi shir. Might be drabonon, might be derais, but it's not the main issa. Wherever it says achila in the Torah, it means kazayis. Now, with regard to chometz and basar kodesh, there's nothing to do with achila over there. What are we talking about? With regard to chometz, nobody's talking about eating the chometz. We're talking about the issa to own chometz. How much you have to go back for to get rid of. With regard to basar kodshim, we're also not talking about eating it. What are we talking about? What amount of meat requires you to burn it? That's nothing to do with achila. So there, we're having a general discussion about what amount of food is considered choshev, but not with regard to achila. But in our Mishnah, with regard to Zimun, what is the discussion? Achila. And it says in the Torah, v'ochalta, zu achila. We know what achila means, v'chala Torah kula. What is that? A kazayis. Therefore, there's no contradiction. You don't need to reverse the shittas. I can quite happily hold that b'chala teira kula, when you're talking about food, non-eating related, then a kebetza is choshuv. But over here, when you're talking about eating, then a kazayis is always constitutes achila. What about Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda sova, no. V'ochalta v'sovata achila sheyesh bo sviya. V'ezoizu kebetza. What does that mean? Again, if you ask Rabbi Yehuda b'chol ha'Torah kula, what is a choshev amount of food, for example, with regard to chametz and with regard to kochim, what will he tell you? No?
A
kazayis. When it came to basar kochim and chametz, Rabbi Yehuda says a kazayis. So why all of a sudden, when it comes to benching, do you need to eat more than the amount? Teres is a special pasuk. Because it says v'savata. If it would just say v'ochalta, then I'd be the first one to admit, oh, achila, no, achila is always a kazayis. But it doesn't say that. It says v'ochalta, v'savata. Not any old eating. It's the amount of eating that would make you satisfied. Oh, that's really a kebetza. So what about Rav Meir? How does Rav Meir learn that pasuk of v'savata? Shtia. It's not referring to an achila sheyesh bo sviya. So according to Rav Meir, you have to read the pasuk like this. V'ochalta, stop. V'savata is another halacha, no relationship, no connection whatsoever to v'achila. So what is v'ochalta? Kuntra Meir? Kazayis. V'chala teira kula might well be a kebetza, but with regard to achila, it's a kazayis. Yeah, but it says v'savata, that's nothing to do with that, that's a different halacha. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't read it v'ochalta, stop. He reads it v'ochalta v'savata. You have to eat that amount which would make you satisfied. Oh, how much is that? That's really a kebetza. And if it is a kebetza, semel on that type of amount, that's when you're going to be mechuyev in Birkas HaMazon. So it turns out that when you're discussing Birkas HaMazon and Zimun, it might be less and it might be more than Basar Kodshim and Chometz. Again, according to Rabbi Meir, normally b'chalata irakula, what is a significant amount of food? A kebetza. Whereas over here, why is it less? Because it says v'ochalta. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's the exact opposite. Normally a significant amount of food is a kazayis. Over here, the reason why you need a kebetza is because it says v'ochalta v'savata. Okay, that is the sugya that is relevant to us. Now, let's have a look at Tosis. Rabbi Meir, because that's what Rabbi Kveiga instructed us to do. Years ago, at my bar mitzvah, my drasha was Rabbi Kveiga Sofik. Rabbi Kveiga Sofik. What happens if a bar mitzvah boy is becoming bar mitzvah tonight? 7 o'clock is his birthday. Why 7 o'clock? Because that's when it's going to be in Ashmoshos or Laila. Okay? At 6:30 in the evening, he's still a cotton. And he washes, and he has a bread-based meal, and he finishes eating the meal at 6:50. And he hasn't yet benched. The clock moves forward, it's now 7 o'clock. Mazel Tov, he puts on his hat and his jacket for the first time in his life, and he's now a godil. And he still feels very satisfied from the eating when he was a cotton. Frektor Kiveiga, is he chayev to bench midrabonon or min hatayra? The ochalta was a drabonon. The vesavata was a deraisa. So you're going to tell me, well, who in the world cares? What does it make a difference? I mean, either way, he has to bench. Says Rabbi Kiveiga, no, the big difference would be, can he be moitzi a godel? A godel is definitely chayiv min ha-teira. If this cotton is now, having become a godel, also chayiv min ha-teira, bless you, then he can be moitzi a godel, and if not, then he can't. What would be another difference? What happens if you eat and you can't remember if you've benched or not? What's the halacha? You've got to bench again. Why? Because it's a deraisa, sofik deraisa l'chumra. What happens if a cotton doesn't remember if he benched. It's a big discussion, by the way. But let's assume that he's only a drabonon, and therefore sofek drabonon l'kula. So in this case of the bar mitzvah boy, he comes to nacht, he puts on his hat and jacket, and he can't remember if he benched. Does he have to bench again or not? If you say that we go with the v'savata, then he's chayv min ha-teira, so sofek min ha-teira l'chumra. If you go with the v'yochalta, then that was my bar mitzvah drasha. You can ask even a bigger question. What happens if he did bench? He did bench, but he still feels satisfied at night. So if you're going to go with v'savata, he's got a chiyuv min ha-Torah to bench because he's got v'savata. What are you going to tell me? Yeah, but he already benched. But he only benched as a cotton, as a drabonon. Who says benching that you did when you were a cotton can help for when you're a godel? There was a great goyin and tzaddik in this country. Terrible tragedy. He was passed away about 3 years ago. A cousin of my family, one of the biggest goyim in Eretz Yisrael. His name was Rav Avrom Genachovsky. I should go in Adir. Mama should I could sit here all day tell you stories about his goyness in Midas, the most phenomenal Baal Midas you ever heard of. But he was a huge Talmud Chacham. He was a cousin of our family. So one of our family bar mitzvahs, I've got an uncle, as you know, Bnei Brak, Zanger, and he was at the bar mitzvah, and in walked Rav Avrom Genachovsky in the middle of the bar mitzvah boys' drosha. What did the bar mitzvah boys speak about? Also this type of shayla. That can, if a cotton does a mitzvah, does that help for when he's a godel if he's still chayiv in that mitzvah? Can when what you do as a cotton, does that help for when you're a godel? And he gave a whole drosha, rise, lakan, lakan. Sits down. And they turn to Rav Avrom Genachovsky, and obviously he said, well, we're mechabed you to say a drosha. So it's always the same spiel. Drosha, well, I've got nothing to say. I mean, you call out Terekula. I've got nothing to say. What should I say then? No, fine. So he stood up. And he says, I must be very honest. I listened to the bar mitzvah boy's drosha, and I didn't understand a word. Total silence in the hall. Not quite your standard opening to a mitzvah boy's guest speaker's drasha. So I'm sorry to say I don't really understand what you're talking about. This is why. You said the bar mitzvah boy just gave a whole drasha about what you do as a cotton, does that help for when you become a godel? He says, I don't understand the whole drasha. When did this boy learn this drasha? When he was a cotton, and now he's a godel. And look how beautifully he said the drasha. So you see quite clearly that what you do as a cotton does help you for when you're a godel. So I don't understand the whole drasha. What's he debating at all? I'll call Pony Vaifen. So I remember on my bar mitzvah boy day, I was on a Monday morning, I leaned in shul, came home quickly. We had a minion of men in the house. We had a small siddur on the day. And then my father took me on a train up to Manchester that very morning on the day of my bar mitzvah to see the match Rosh Hashiva. Rabbi Yehuda Zeiv Segal, Zeichet Tzadik, the Kodesh Levracha. If ever you met him, it was I felt you were talking to a malach. Not that I'm rogil to speak to malachim, but I can imagine it probably feels something similar to that. So he asked me, "Nu, so what's your bar mitzvah drasha about?" And I said, "My mitzvah drasha is about what happens if a boy eats a meal and he just becomes nacht." So he said to me, "Ah, Rabbi Kivega Sofik." And much to my father's horror, apparently I said to Rashi, "Oh, really? Wow, how do you know?" There's conflicting versions of what happened. Did I say it to the Rosh Hashiva, or did I say it to my father when we left the Rosh Hashiva? I'm not sure. It could be I didn't say it to Rosh Hashiva. It could be I said it to my father when we left the Rosh Hashiva. How did he know? So how did he know? Because of the Rosh Hashiva. That's how he knows. I'll call upon him open. I think we've slightly veered off our subject. Fine. So we have the pasuk v'ochalta v'savata. So now, what boils down, that comes to the final discussion, we have a shaila. How are you going to learn the pasuk v'ochalta v'savata? According to Rav Meir, v'ochalta, stop. Kazayis. According to Rav Yehuda, v'ochalta v'savata, it's got to be the type of achila which is satiating, which makes you satisfied, and that is going to be a kibetza. Says Tosfos. Rabbi Meir Sovav Ochal Tezu Achila V'Achila B'Kezayis. And because Achila is a Kezayis, that's why as soon as you've eaten the Kezayis, you mechuyev to bench, says Tosfos. You should know V'Oymeri. The Ri says Dahani Kroi Asmachta Ba'Alma Ninhu. We've had the principle of asmachta before. What does asmachta mean? It's not a real drosha. It's only a din. Midrabonon asmachta, from the word soimach, leaning. They're leaning on the posuk, as if to say that the posuk teaches me this halacha. But it's only leaning on the posuk. We're not really deriving it from the posuk. What does that mean? Why? De midoi reise bo inon sevia gemura. Crucial words. Because certainly min ha-Torah, says Tosfos, and he backs this up from a Gemara in Daf Chof Amud Beis, certainly min ha-Torah, you're only mechuyev to bench if you eat what amount? Sevia gemura. So when we see a Gemara like this in Daf Mem Tes on the base, as if, it sounds like as if there's a machloikas, kezayis, kebetza, yeah, posuk, no posuk, it's not to be taken all that literally. Why? Because definitely min ha-Torah, how much do you have to eat in order to be mechuyev to bench? Sevia gemura. How much is a sevia gemura? At least a kebetza, probably more. Nat says Tosfos Kada Omar, Perek Mishamesu, etc., etc., etc. And Tosfos then continues with a whole discussion to bring proofs one way or another. In other words, min ha-Torah, how much you have to eat in order to mechuyev to bench? Sevia gemura, fully satiated. So what's our discussion in the Gemara then? Midrabanon. Midrabanon. The Rebbei is of the opinion that if you have a kezayis, you mechuyev to bench. Don't make the mistake of thinking that he holds you mechuyev to bench min ha-Torah because it says va'ochalto, and va'ochalto is min ha-Torah a kezayis. It's not a real drosha. It's an asmachta. Min ha-Torah, it's got to be much more than a kezayis. It's got to be kedei sviya. Midrabanon, we blame it, as it were, on this posuk, and we say, even if you eat less, i.e. a kezayis. So for the whole discussion in our Gemara is a discussion midrabanon. But min ha-Torah, how much you have to eat? Kedei sviya, non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. Now, Tosfos, I don't want to get involved in all of the Tosfos, because Tosfos just brings one proof, this proof, backwards and forwards. Okay, so we have now two separate shailas. Shaila number one, how much must you eat in order to mechuyev to bench? And the answer is, min ha-Torah, sevia. Shaila number two, yeah, but how much do you have to eat in order to mechuyev to bench? Midrabanon. That is a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether it's a kezayis or a kebetza. And what do we paskel halacha? If you look at Tosfos, Tosfos says mufurosh v'kaim alon b'kezayis. We hold it's a kezayis, and Tosfos brings a whole bunch of proofs. Now, if you look on the first wide line, at the end of the first wide line, Tosfos says v'chein le'el. So too in daf Lamed Chesam Abayis, and that was the Gemara that we've learned. Gabe, with regard to the sugya of Sheochal Kazayis Meliach, it was quite clear that how much is, are you mechuyev to eat there? A kazayis. Remember the whole discussion of the Gemara. Do you have a kazayis with the pit, without the pit?
It didn't say kebeitza. What did it say? Kezais. By the way, let's not make a mistake over here. You don't bench after eating a zais. Zais is not bread. Zais is fruit. What bracha do you make? Bracha achreina? Bracha achreina ala michya or ala eitz. But the same parameters that apply to benching apply also to bracha achas me'ein sholish.
Because that's what it means. Remember, we'll see in Mitzvah Hashem in this parak a lot of discussion. Bracha achas me'ein sholish. It's like the three brachas. It's all halachas of the three brachas. And what did it say in our Gemara with regard to the olive? The whole discussion revolved around one thing. Did he eat a kezais or he didn't eat a kezais? So I see that la halacha lemaisa lemaisa lemaisa. How much you have to eat in order to mechuyev benching at least midrabbana? The answer is a kezais. But minatayra says Tosis, non-debatable. This is not the subject of the discussion in brachas daf mem tes on this. If you want to know how much you have to eat in order to mechuyev benching minatayra, kedei svia gemura. Midrabbana, there's a discussion kezais or kebeitza, and it happens to be that we're machmen, we hold a kezais. Now, says Tosfos, v'chein posak, Bahag. Who's the Bahag? The Baal Halachas Gedolos, v'rach. Who's the Rach? Rabbeinu Chananel. V'sheiltas, all of these Rishonim, they all hold that what? Halacha l'maisa, how much you have to eat? Ekezais. Okay. Now, says Tosfos, ole'inyan shtia. What about with regard to shtia? Everything we've spoken about until this point, all is discussing food, not drink. What about shtia? Oy mari de yesh lahachmir ulvari cholov afilu bepochois mi mole lugma. Even if...
How much?
Doesn't say... It's mashma any amount, even if it's less than a maloi lugmav, you will still be mechuyev to say bracha achreino. Which bracha achreino? Talking about shtia over here. By rein nefashos. Ah, so who's talking over here? Who's talking over here? Three. Now we understand why Rabbi Kivega sent us here. Because this is the same Ri that we bumped into in Daf Lama Teso Madalef, who said that Bairei Nefoshes is not a Brocha Chashuva and therefore does not require an Achila Chashuva. Therefore, even though, for example, when it comes to Yayin, for example, when it comes to Yayin, then what? What's the bracha after Yayin? Achas mein shalosh, you'd have to eat a proper amount. Maloy lugmav. When it comes to boi nefashos, then what?
Any amount.
Even a drop. That's what it sounds like. Now everybody here should be jumping up and down in their seats. But let's just continue Tosfos till the end. By the way, next to the words ule inyan shtia, we see again there is a note, and it sends us to Rikviega. We'll see that in a moment. But let's just finish Tosfos. Olenian shtia imari diesh lachmi ulevare chalav afilu bepocha ismelei lugmov afal gav de leinian yema kippurim leisa. Even though with regard to Chus Yom Kippur it's different. Tosfos says that's not our discussion. Yom Kippur is different. Okay. So what is the Ri telling us? And this is why Rikviega is sending us over here. Moirav raboisai. Everybody should be jumping up and down. Are there two Ri's? The Ri and Daf Lamed Tes Omed Alev and the Ri and Daf Mem Tes Omed Beis. Are they compatible or are they contradictory? What did the Ri say with regard to Lama Tes Amad Aleph? Tosfos had just finished saying, Kais Shal Bracha, Meloi Lugmav,
Okay, Vahari Haya Aima on the third, second narrow line. Bayern Afasha is given the love brocha chashuvahi, a feel of a bots and mishiura.
You don't say a bracha. You do.
Mavarachina. You make a bracha of Bayern Afasha, even what? Even if?
It's less.
A little bit.
A little bit of what?
Less.
A little bit of what?
Achila or
Shtia. Shtia or Achila?
Oh.
Why do you assume Shtia? Why are you assuming Shtia?
Because you're talking about
but he said it's Bayern Afashos. When I read this Tosis for the first time, it sounded like that the Ri was telling you a general rule whenever you make a bracha of Bayern Nefashos. Whether drinking or eating. So not only if I have a small sip of water, but also if I have a small piece of apple or a small piece of meat. What is the after bracha there? Bayern Nefashos. It's not a bracha chashuva. If it's not a bracha chashuva, I don't eat an achila chashuva. So any amount would require bayern afashos. That's what it sounds like. Says Rabbi Kveiga, have a look in Tosfos Daf Memtes Amud Beis. And what do we see in Memtes Amud Beis? How does the Ri express it over here?
Shtia.
Oleinian shtia. You should make a bracha on less. Why on shtia? Because bayern afashos is not a bracha chashuva. Well then, if that's the case, then even achila as well. So why any shtia? That presumably is why Rabbi Kveiga sent us to this Tosfos.
Yeah, but it's also Lamites. Tosfos is talking about shtia.
That's true.
And then he brings it around.
True.
So then,
why did he talk about bayern afashos then? He should have said, Shtia, you should make a bracha less. Nothing to do with bayern afashos.
So it says Shtia right before. So obviously,
why did the Ri mention?
He was just
why does the Ri mention bayern afashos? What's that got to do with it?
Tosfos is bringing a point about Shtia right before.
True.
And the Ri to
explain
speak
what?
About what he was just talking about. Tosfos was just
what's
saying.
It got to do with the fact that it's bayern afashos? Why is that significant?
So you say bayern afashos after Shtia.
And you also say bayern afashos on meat. So why do I only have to eat or drink?
That's what I was talking about. So you went to
again, why do I only have to drink a drop of water to mechayev a bracha achrayim? Why? That's the Ri's chiddush. You're saying, listen, the subject matter is drinking. That's what he's talking about. Let's continue with that. If that's the case, I'm asking you a question. Why is it only applicable to drinking? Do you have any logic to explain that? All other foods, I bench on bread after a specific amount. If I'm having grapes or wine, a specific amount. All of a sudden, water is different. Why is water different? So Tosfos said why. Because the after bracha is bayern afashos. That's the logic. If that's the logic, there's no difference in drinking and eating. Who cares if the subject matter is drinking? But the logic that he gave doesn't in any way distinguish between achila and shtia. The Ri L'Chaira is coming with a general principle. Bayrein Afashos is a
not
a chashuv a bracha. Well, if it's not a chashuv a bracha, why when it comes to eating should be any different? That's how I understood Tosfos initially. If I see Tosfos in Daf Mem Tes Omad Beis that says clearly that it only refers to shtia, then I'm going to have to say L'Arim Lachem. I don't want to have a contradiction in the Ri. That even though, and that's what Rabbi Kveig, I guess, is troubled by, even though the logic that he gave was with regard to bayern afashos, and that l'chayra should therefore apply equally to achila as it does to shtia, there's no reason to distinguish. But what should I do, says Rabbi Kveig? Have a look in another 10 daf, in daf memtes on a base, and you'll see clearly that what does the Ri say is only with regard to shtia. So therefore the $64 million question is one word. Why? Why shtia? Ah, because the bracha is bayern afashos. So is achil. A piece of meat, you have an apple, you have a cup of water, you have your... whatever it may be. As long as it's not lechem or chamishas mini dogon or shivas aminim, the bracha is always boreh nefashis. If boreh nefashis is not a bracha chashuva, and that therefore says you don't need to have an achila chashuva, what in the world does it make a difference if it's achila or shtiyah? That, l'chayra, all lies in the note that Kvega sent us to in Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. If anybody else, points this out. No. Now, just before we finish off, let's just have a look at one more Rabbi Kivayga. We saw in that from Memtes on the base that the Lashon of Tosus was somewhat strange. Tosus says, what does that mean, Yesh Lahachmir or Levarich? Tosus Memtes on the base. However small you drink, Lenin Shtia, you should be machmir to borach. Now, what does that mean, Yesh Lahachmir? You should be machmir. It's a chumra, it sounds like. It's really a sophic. I'm not sure. You should be machmir. That is highly, highly problematic. You know why it's problematic? Look at Rabbi Kivayga in the margin there. Have you got Rabbi Kivayga there? And Gilin Ashas again there? Zog Rabbi Kivayga, Toysus, Diba Maskel, Vramea, Sovar, Ule Inyan, Shtia, Oy Marid, Yesh Lahach, Mulavarech, Kuf Lamed, Koshali. Have you got it? The second note there. Koshali. Heich, Shaykh, Lahachmir, Lavarech. How on earth can you be Machmir to make a bracha? We have a principle, Hobba Bracha, Slaykh, Lahokel, Vitzorachim. We have a principle, Sofik Brachas Lahakel. So if you say that I'm absolutely convinced this is the right bracha, so be it. But if you say Lahachmir, what does that clearly indicate?
You're not sure.
But you're not sure, and therefore me Sofik, you should make a bracha. Says Rabbi Kivayga, scurry, that's not the rule. The rule is when it comes to brachas, when you have a Sofik, you don't make a bracha. So I can tell you, say you do. Sorry. This is the second Rabbi Kivayga we've seen this week. Remember the first one? First one was very bothered with Rashi. Rashi says, we can't be talking about prunes, because prunes is ha'etz. Rabbi Kivayga, what are you talking about? I'm talking about shlokes. Shlokes is not ha'etz. If vegetables become shahakol, then so do fruits. What did Rabbi Kivayga say? Tzarechin. Here we have another Rabbi Kivayga. How can Tosfos say that? Chomra, you should be mach mitveke bracha. When it comes to brachas, the rule is the exact opposite. When you're not sure what to do, when you come to a suffix, you don't make a bracha. Says Rabbi Kivayga, Tzarechin. Okay, everybody, we'll hold it over here. All being well, we'll enter the last week of Zman. Wish you all firstly a good Chodesh. Rosh Hashanah tonight, and in the last week of Zman, next week.